George Washington, the father of our country, envisioned an America where people of all faiths could enjoy peace. That includes, of course, the Jews. He wrote letters to synagogues expressing his gratitude that here in this land, here in America, every man could rest under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. Now, he's quoting there from the Hebrew prophet Micah, chapter 4, verse 4. He loved that verse. He quoted it more than 40 times in his writings. Well, fast forward to today. We saw recently, on October 7th, 2023, Israel's 9/11, where they were attacked in merciless ways by Hamas. And on many college campuses throughout America, many professors and students have been praising Hamas and condemning Israel ever since that attack. How are we to understand this? Robert Spencer is a New York Times best-selling author on Islam and jihad and Sharia and subjects like that. He now joins us on Vocal Point to discuss this. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Robert Spencer, it's so great to have you back on the program. Thank you for helping us to make sense of the madness, if you will.
Happy to do it, Jerry. What we're seeing on the college campuses these days is the fruit of 50 years of hard left indoctrination in the academic world. The left has taken over the nation's colleges and universities, and they instill their socialist globalist initiative as well as their hatred for Israel. And so we've seen protests in favor of Hamas, and this is quite open. At the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, there was a young lady who was actually screaming, "We are all Hamas." So it's not as if they are even attempting, in many cases, to preserve the fiction of some distinction between allegedly moderate Palestinians that they're supporting and Hamas that they're not supporting. They're just out and out supporting Hamas, the group that was responsible for the brutal and grisly murders of well over 1,300 now Israeli civilians on October 7th. Also professors. There was a Cornell professor mm-hmm. who said that he found the Hamas attack exhilarating. There were other professors who have praised and hailed the Hamas attacks. And so this indicates that America's universities have completely lost any moral compass they may ever have had. They are on the side of evil. They should not receive taxpayer funding. This is way above and beyond just having a kind of liberal bias, although it shows you what a liberal bias will get you in the long run.
Now, there was some pushback at one point, let's say related to Harvard. You remember that there were more than 30 student groups that put out a statement within, you know, I don't know if it was minutes or hours or whatever of the attack. It was before the weekend was over, as I understand it. And they basically said, look, we support the Palestinians in this because Israel is the aggressor. And whatever the Palestinians are doing, it's in response to all these years of oppression. Now, there was some pushback against some of those students. There was even a high donor to Harvard who said, hey, I'm holding back my paycheck and or my checkbook until you guys, you know, sort this out. But in the meantime, you know, they're still there. And, you know, an ex-president of Harvard condemned it, but not the current president.
It's emblematic of the corruption of all the universities, what happened at Harvard. At Harvard, as you noted, the students immediately came out. I think maybe the attacks were still going on. And endorsed the attacks, endorsed Hamas essentially, and said it laid all the blame on Israel. And then there was indeed pushback, and there has been pushback against several of the professors who have expressed support for the Palestinian jihadis and so on. There have been several who actually apologized, but nobody seems to be paying attention to the fact that this is not really anything that's going to change anything. A few apologies here and there so that people can save their jobs does not mean that somehow the universities, and Harvard in particular, are reconsidering their support for the jihad in general and for Hamas in particular. That support continues. And so the idea that these apologies really mean anything, I think, is a bit of wishful thinking. But what's even more interesting is that after the Harvard students came out with their declaration in favor of the Palestinians. And then, as you noted, the big donor pushed back. Then the Harvard students are now claiming that they are the victims of the whole thing. And the I believe it was the Harvard Arab Association, Arab Alumni Association, they said that they actually started a fundraising campaign for the mental health of the students who had openly endorsed a Hamas jihad attack. And the idea is apparently that they are being menaced by the terrible pro-Israeli students. This is a total inversion of reality. As a matter of fact, Jerry, for years, pro-Israel and Jewish students have been physically menaced on campuses by Palestinian supporters, leftists, and Muslim students who support the Palestinian jihad. But just as in the Palestinian jihad itself, the perpetrators know very skillfully how to claim victimhood and project what they're doing onto their victims. And so just as the Palestinians constantly victimize Israel and treat Israeli civilians in these terrible manners and then claim that this is happening against them and that Israel is the real aggressor, so the Harvard students are now, after hailing this jihad attack, backpedaling and claiming that they're really the ones who are being victimized by Israeli students who never endorsed any violence at all.
Gary Bauer recently reported, according to the latest FBI statistics on hate crimes, Jews, and he's talking about in the United States, Jews are seven times more likely to be the victims of anti-religious hate crimes than Muslims. Your thoughts?
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's been true for years, actually. It's noteworthy that while there is national awareness about the phenomenon that is known as Islamophobia, and people have now internalized the idea that this is something that they need to avoid, and they avoid even discussing Islamic Jihad activity for fear of being Islamophobic, there's no similar concern about anti-Semitism. And yet anti-Semitism is a real thing that actually is shown, the FBI hate crime statistics demonstrate year after year that there is far more anti-Semitism in the United States than there is so-called Islamophobia, or that is vigilante attacks against innocent Muslims. No such attacks are ever justified under any circumstances. Not one, not 100, not 1,000. But the idea that America is some Islamophobic entity where Muslims live in fear, it's completely fictional. And it also ignores the grim reality of the just how common anti-Semitism really is.
You know, that quote that I said at the very beginning of it, of this whole discussion, it's one of my favorite quotations from the founding fathers, you know, where George Washington said, here in America, every man shall live under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. It's really so sad to see anti-Semitism rearing its ugly head. And yet that's exactly what we're seeing. And here is a land where, to quote again George Washington, bigotry should lay no sanction, or something like that, something to that effect. And yet we're seeing that kind of thing, especially on these campuses.
Yeah, there's a tremendous recrudescence of anti-Semitism in the United States and around the world. A lot of it focuses on Israel, but we have to recall that when we see Muslim protesters chanting Kaibar, Kaibar, Ya Yahud, as we have in several places recently, that is a genocidal war cry that goes back to stories about Muhammad and how he massacred the Jews who were living in the Kaibar oasis in northern Arabia. And the warning is, Kaibar, Kaibar, O Jews, the army of Muhammad will return. And so that's not just talking about Israel. That is talking about the Jews in general. And we should not be dismissive of the fact that the rise in anti-Semitism is a rise in innocent people being victimized. And that's what that chant means, and that's what we see happening around the world.
Earlier in this discussion, you mentioned that 50 years or so of, socialist indoctrination in our colleges, that's what, has led to this. You think about the whole Marxist idea of the oppressor versus the oppressed. Now, in his original iteration of it with co-author Frederick Engels and the Communist Manifesto, it was all about economics, but there's the oppressor and the oppressed. But now the modern-day Marxists have applied it in all kinds of different realms, and that would include the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and the Israelis are always the oppressors, even if they're a baby about to be beheaded by the Palestinians.
This is a strategy that coincides with a larger strategy of the left. If you look at international media coverage of the jihad in general, whether against Israel, whether against any other country or group in the world, you have this paradigm that the media fits every story into. And the paradigm is that Christians are always white oppressors and Muslims are always victims and brown people. And so every last story involving Christians and Muslims has to be fit into that paradigm. And if it doesn't, it just doesn't get reported. And so when it comes to Israel, we have the falsehoods that are spread around by the international media that it's there is a white oppressor, and that's Israel, and the brown victims, and that's the Muslims. And it's just that simple as far as the media goes. There's no recognition of the reality of Islamic Jihad. There's no recognition of the fact that none of this has anything to do with race. It's all just fit into this media paradigm. And so when it comes to Israel, you actually have academics on American university campuses saying the Palestinians are the indigenous people of the region, because that's their leftist paradigm for looking at every region, that there are indigenous people and then white colonialist oppressors. And so they just fit Israel into this. But there's really nothing to that whatsoever. And it's more of a kind of tribalism manifesting itself on the left than it is actually any remotely illuminating method of analysis.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. How do you want to conclude this discussion about especially the college campuses and this whole Israeli situation and the rising anti-Semitism? 1 minute.
The college campuses are corrupt and compromised, and the idea that taxpayer funding is going to many of these college campuses is a scandal, and it should be ended. These campuses are nothing but centers for far-left indoctrination, propaganda, jihadist recruitment, Antifa recruitment, terrorist recruitment, and so on, and they should be shut down or at least defunded accordingly.
Wow. Okay, jihadwatch.org is the website for Robert Spencer, New York Times bestselling author on all things jihad. And by the way, jihad is spelled J-I-H-A-D. Robert, thank you so much.
Thank you.